AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Celtic. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboards.
Yes, welcome back to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we begin the reflections on what was a very low-key day at Ibrox. Loads going on off the field, loads of stories surrounding the game, loads of narrative. Russell Martin, the Rangers start to the season. The calls for him to be sacked. Brendan Rodgers not in a brilliant place either. Sack the board chants from the Celtic fans. They're out the Champions League. It was interesting enough. The team lineups even more so. And then the game happened. Very little took place. So what did you make of it? 0141 951 1025. Hugh Keevans, Gordon Dalziel, Marvin Bartley in the studio. You can watch us live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Ross McCormick still at Ibrox as well. Take it away, Hugh.
I think it's the repercussions of the result rather than repeating over and over that it was a terrible game. Russell Martin, as Andrew McLean pointed out, 4 league games, 4 draws, goes down the tunnel to booing a banner during the game saying that he must go, and implicating the chief executive, Patrick Stewart, the whole business by saying if he doesn't fix it, he can go as well. So today was not a good one for Russell Martin, because it was the fourth draw, because Rangers had home advantage, playing against a Celtic team who, by comparison to recent Celtic teams the last 2 or 3 seasons since Brendan Rodgers came back for his second spell, there was no comparison. They are very much in decline and they need better players than they have at the moment. So for Russell Martin, 6 points adrift of Celtic. The crowd will fester on that for the next 2 weeks of the international break. And then he has that doubleheader, Hearts in the league, Hibs in the Premier Sports Cup. For Russell Martin, the pain goes on. For Brendan Rodgers, we'll see what tomorrow brings for him. The repercussions for Celtic, will they get a striker in tomorrow, the final day of the transfer window? There must be work still to be done. And the supporters are scrutinising the situation very, very carefully.
Very hard to sum up. I think everyone will agree it was not a classic. I look at both teams. If you're Celtic, I think you're probably walking out of Ibrox the happier. Clean sheet once again, that's a positive for Brendan Rodgers. 6 points clear, going into international break, a few points out there. If you're Rangers, another draw. It looked a little bit better today, a bit disaster. I thought Majovski worked very hard until he was replaced, but in terms of quality in the pitch, none at all for me. But it's interesting to see over the next coming days who's got to come into the building, who's got to leave.
Anyway, we've got a proper derby underway now as well. Dundee against Dundee United. It could not possibly be worse, so we'll keep an eye on that. We'll take you through everything to discuss from that one. These do tend to be quite high on entertainment. Hopefully that is the case. But we're here until 4 o'clock. Let's get stuck in. There's always something to discuss. Mark is waiting, but I think Jamie just pipped him to the post. Let's bring Jamie onto the line. Jamie, what's your point?
How's it going, Gordon? All right?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Aye, not bad.
What did you make of it?
After watching today's game, right, I'll be honest, Rangers kind of dominated the play and broke up everything brilliant. We never had the last week the colour goal. But I can actually see more problems with Celtic. I don't know why that is when they've had the run of the play for a long time. And I know what you're saying, I'm talking about them, but I'm watching, we're trying to build a team. You're getting scrutinised for, obviously, starting a team. Russell Martin's been getting dogs abuse, basically, for all the fans. Everything for trying to build a team. Now, what I've seen today is he actually changed his tactics to suit actually the game which you would be calling for. Right, so, but see, we Celtic, I'm being serious. they look as if they'll be in it. They maybe, obviously, the maybe transfer window did the shut to the night, but I would say Rangers will still claw this back, see what we're building, because I know there's obviously a couple in the pipeline and now. I think it's still clawable.
Do you think ultimately that this was a better day for Rangers than it was for Celtic?
Yeah, I would say that. I would say that even though it was the brilliant, it was, but I would say we dominated in without really creating much.
See, on that, just to, what, by what measurement then do you think you dominated? Because I think Celtic had more, by the way, none of this is designed to say that Celtic were good, so please don't take it that way. But Celtic had 60% possession and Rangers didn't have a shot on target. So what do you mean dominated?
Well, see their possession. It was in the last quarter of their pitch.
No, listen, again, and that's what I said, but that's what I said, Jamie. That was not offered as proof that Celtic were good, but it was offered as, how could you say Rangers dominated that game?
No, what I'm saying is, see, we had actually a dominant game. We won every second ball, the majority. And I'm being serious, that's probably the best I've seen actually Rangers playing. I know it all came to really nothing because we never won the 3 points, but on that, I thought we actually played okay for defensive-wise.
I can actually understand what Jamie's direction of thought here, that after 13 of the last 14 titles going to Celtic, he's looking at a sign of that coming to an end, perhaps. I'm not saying it will, but I do believe that Celtic have gone backwards in an alarming way. The quality has gone out of the side. Kuhn has gone, Kyogo's gone, Jota, sadly for him, long-term injury. The players in the middle of the park, Callum McGregor, for me, toiling. Engels continues to be Engels the enigma. Reo Hatate, for me, has gone backwards. And I think Brendan Rodgers knows all of this.
With all that being said, though, Hugh, you know, Celtic sit on 10 points and not concede the goal domestically. Mm-hmm. So if you're going backwards and you're regressing and these players are all going in the wrong direction and you've not conceded a goal and you sit with 10 points after four games, it's hard to put the two together.
And I don't see Rangers coming forward, if you're going to put it in that perspective. I thought it was just a bad game. Look, Rangers have brought in all these new players. They are looking to build for the future. I think some of them are still well short, I've got to say. And Celtic, the transfer window has been a disaster for them.
And I think, to be fair, Jamie's right when he speaks about Russell Martin changing tactics. Mm-hmm. And this could have been a much worse day for him. Can you imagine the lines if they lost? They're already calls for his head, all that sort of stuff. So Rangers, they looked up for it. They looked more up for it. They dug in. They did what they had to do in their individual battles. Jamie's talking about, you know, winning second balls. Interesting to see how much of a platform this is, because the good stuff Rangers did today, stop me if I'm wrong, it wasn't anything to do with what Russell Martin's trying to get across in the previous game. Does that make sense?
It had to do what he did today.
No, I know that, but do you see what I mean? It's almost like this game had to just live separately and then get back to what he's trying to build.
Yeah, I think when the international break ends, Majovski will be 2 weeks fitter, and I think Majovski is going to be a player for Rangers. But as I say, the repercussions are important. They still won't get off Russell Martin's back. The banners, the booing at Russell Martin at time up. He still has an awful lot to do in terms of winning over the Rangers fans. But from the other perspective, the Celtic perspective, I really do think, and I know it's Marvin, it's only four games into the season, but I think there is a glaring lack of quality there, and it was highlighted over 3 hours and 30 minutes against Karat Almaty. There is a glaring decline in quality.
But that's fine though, but that's if you're taking it in isolation. Jamie's point is taking the two today and presenting this as some sort of positive day for Rangers over Celtic. That's the core of the argument.
Well, I can imagine that Rangers fans are trying to cling to any passing lifeboat, but Jamie's core point is that he can see Celtic going backwards and Rangers have a chance of clawing back the 6 point deficit and therefore a chance of winning the league.
Yeah, I just wonder in that confidence there, clawing back the 6 point. If we're talking about, you're saying there, Hugh, about Celtic, how, you know, they were poor today in the sense of Midland Park, wide areas and whatever. then you've got to look at a Rangers team that's got to take advantage of that. But under no circumstances did I think Rangers were going to win that game today. It was going to be a free kick or a set play that was going to get the goal or maybe a mistake. It was just a poor, poor game. And I think Marv's right in the fact that you're 10 points, you're 6 points ahead of Rangers, and you've not lost a goal. Yes, they need players, no doubt about it. I thought the quality for both sides. But I don't look at Rangers and think to myself, oh, that's him, that's the best I've played today. They're starting to kick on. I just thought that two teams were...
I told you, standard was poor. No such problems in the Dundee derby. 13 minutes, that's all we had to wait for a goal. Zach Sapsford, one of the summer recruits for Dundee United, has nicked in, put one in at the near post. I'm not sure John McCracken will be too impressed with it. The Dundee goalkeeper, he felt he was a bit unsighted, but Dundee United have walked up the hill and taken the lead. Ross McCormick's at the stadium. Ross, Jamie's talking about Russell Martin maybe changing his tactics and stuff today. Is that fair? Was this different from what we've seen from Rangers so far?
It was, yes. I think this could be a small sort of sign of Russell Martin learning from his mistakes at Southampton. Under no circumstances when he was down there did he change anything whatsoever. The fact that he's done this today, it shows that the crowd are getting to them and he's listening to them, because there's no way he would have done this last season. And listen, I think it's for the better, Gordon. I think I can understand Jamie's point when he's talking about being dominant and stuff. I don't see that part, but I can see certain things that he's trying to do from being here and watching him on the sideline, how he's trying to put things across to his team. I can see what direction he's sort of trying to go in. But the big point that I can see is, and I agree with Jamie, is the fact that Celtic have gone backwards. They've gone backwards at an alarming rate. If they do not get a striker through that door before that deadline, I mean, some of the Europa League, they've got to go to Bologna, they've got Roma at home, they've got to go to Michelin, they've got to go to Feyenoord. Them teams will be licking their lips, Gordon.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't a good performance from either. I think we're all quite clear on that. But like I say, Gordon, it'll be interesting to see what this looks like going forward, because today, right now, I get where Ross is coming from. Well done, Russell Martin. You've shown you can adapt. You've shown that you're not going to be so hell-bent on playing the way you had previously. But what does that mean then? You know, you've been so consistent that this is the way that it needs to be. Everything you've done in pre-season, every player you've recruited, all your messaging has been gauged towards that. So on one hand, you can praise him for being adaptable, but what does that look like now? What does he do now? What direction does he go?
Well, I totally understand what they're saying. He played a lot of longer balls, especially first half, tried to get Majovski in. It happened, he got in once in the penalty claim, which there was a correct decision, wasn't apparently. But he's not going to go down that road when, no disrespect, Kilmarnock come calling at Ibrox or teams like Dundee or whatever it may be, because the fans would... They'd be not too happy with style of play. I thought today differently, tried to turn Celtic. It is Celtic. They've not lost a goal. They're the champions. So you've got to adapt to the team you're playing against. I think he'll work in the 2 week break. He'll get players in, he'll probably get players out, and then he'll get back to trying to do this possession based football that he likes.
There's got to be an umbrella to that position base, hasn't there? I think today he offered something different with the ball going in behind, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, he spoke about it so many times that, you know, Rangers struggle to break teams down, and they have struggled, you know, previously as well, because they played too many passes in front of teams.
That's my point, though, is the ball going in behind against St Mirren or...
No, I don't think it
will. Well, it depends how quickly you turn the ball over, because at some point these teams have to attack, you know, so you need to try and get them out of structure. What happens now is Rangers are pinning teams in, but they don't have that final third bit. But if St Mirren or someone comes to your place and they're attacking, of course there's going to be space in behind. But we spoke about it in the other studio. There's not been enough runners in behind from Rangers players to take advantage of
that. Let's get the Celtic angle from Mark on the other line. Mark?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you all?
Good, Mark. Good. What did you make of it?
Well, just if I've got two quick wee points,
go for it. Yeah.
First of all, I was going to come on and air my points first, but I've just listened for the last 5 minutes. The guy, Jamie, came on and spoke about his team. Yeah, he thought they were in the ascendancy and they're going to get better. He spent £25 million and they didn't have a shot at Celtic's goal in the second half. For all the good players that they've brought in, and you see that Celtic are weak, and they are very weak. They haven't got any strength, they haven't bought anything up front. They've actually lost a striker when they should have really been in the bench today. And they haven't brought anybody in. But for that bad aside that we were, Rangers' best player in the whole park today was a right back. The guy that's been there for 6-7 years, he was a standout for them, in my opinion. The only reason we never had the success the second half. It was because Maeda moved over to the left and Tavernier never got any joy down the right-hand side. But nobody, well, Marvin in the panel, maybe Gordon and I, but your man at the game and you has absolutely dismantled Celtic there. In the last 2 or 3 minutes I've been listening to this thing. Celtic got the draw there. Rangers have spent nearly £13 million and they're spending more. And they still couldn't mark a glove or put a shot on a Celtic team that's so weak. With Tony Ralston playing it right back. And a half-fit Kieran Tierney. The guys that's been in for 24 hours, never played in the country before. And men playing up front, who, let's be honest, guys that play in the wide, like Nigel, who's never a winger. And they still got a draw out of it. We're 6 in front. We've not conceded a goal this season. We've not lost a game. We got knocked out in Europe because we were very, very poor. And yes, the board have let the Celtic fans and the manager down, absolutely. But they've got 24 hours to turn that round. Now, if I'm a Rangers fan, I'd be worried about that, because if Celtic go and spend the money tomorrow, or they get the players in tomorrow, and they can't mark a team that's this poor at the minute, how are they going to go on in a couple of weeks' time? I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like in the panel in a couple of weeks' time, because they've just half your guys have just absolutely dismantled Celtic, and Rangers should have been the ones that won them, because they're at Ibrox at home.
Mark, you've said yourself, I mean, the argument can't descend into we were less poor than you. You said yourself that it's very obvious that Celtic are in need of players, and that there are Europa League matches that offer very difficult tasks for Celtic, and they do need more quality, and the manager makes that clear every time he speaks. So it's not about we were less poor than you, it's about what's round the corner. And I've said of Rangers, the doubleheader with Hearts and Hibs, League and Cup, is a real trial for Russell Martin and his players. But you know, Celtic have just over 24 hours to get people in, and they really must do so, because at the moment, starting from the Scottish Cup final against Aberdeen last May, Celtic are in clear need of refurbishment.
Okay, do you know what we'll do? We'll actually pause there, because there was a lot of ground covered and we're going to come back with plenty more. I think Mark makes some good points, Hugh responding with some good ones. We can do it all over again after these.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Taking your calls on the Old Firm open line, 0141-951-1025. Rangers v Celtic. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
I was going to say the dust is beginning to settle on the first Old Firm game. That's what they say. I don't know if there was much dust kicked up, to be honest. It was a goalless draw, very few goalmouth incidents, but still, there's enough storylines doing the rounds. What did you make of it? Ross McCormick's at Ibrox. We've got the top team in the studio as well, Hugh, Marvin and Gordon. Good Dundee derby. Dundee United are one up at Dens. Zach Sapsford with the goal 25 minutes into that one. We've got 2 3 o'clock games kicking off as well, so plenty to get through. Let's bring in Billy, who is there. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Gordon. How you doing?
Thank you
for taking my call.
What have you got for us after that today, then?
Oh, the producer says I'm not allowed to use certain words.
Thank you.
Hugh, I would like to speak to Hugh Keevans.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, Mr. Hugh Keevans.
I'm here.
You've got to respect your elders.
Thank you.
Is that not one of the worst Old Firm games you've ever seen?
I'll give you my straightforward answer. I watched my first Old Firm game 65 years ago, and that was the worst I've ever seen. But having said that, we have to move on and find out where both of them go from here. It was desperately low in quality. It was a poor advert for the Premiership. It's a sign of two major clubs being at a very low ebb. I'll be very interested when Hearts go to Ibrox, because Tony Bloom, Derek McInnes, they've spoken about winning, about being a disruptive force. about silverware. Well, when Hearts go to Ibrox after the international break, it'll be interesting to see Russell Martin's approach to the game. Will he approach it as he did Celtic today, or will he revert to the style that got the three previous draws before today? And I'll be very interested to see if Hearts can make their mark at Ibrox, because if Celtic and Rangers are the two clubs who are going to win the league, then surely the like of Hearts have got to think this could be their season to split them up.
Billy, where does this leave Russell Martin in your mind? I mean, there were some boos at the end there. I'm going to speak to Ross McCormack about that in a second. Where does this leave him?
I think Russell, I mean, this was the best chance for Rangers today. I mean, no offence to Celtic, right? I'm obviously a Rangers fan, but that was the poorest Celtic team. Rangers should have took advantage of that today, and I just didn't see nothing there. As you keep saying, I didn't watch your game on TV. I was listening to yourselves, obviously, commentating on it. There was no shots on goals apart from that one that was offside. I mean, for God's sake, the two top teams in Scotland, and they can't even produce one goal between them.
Yeah. Ross, let me ask you about that. So, the booing of Russell Martin, it wasn't everybody. It wasn't overwhelming, but it was there. I could hear it, you know, coming down. He won't have been able to avoid it, I'm sure. Did he go over to the fans? How did it come about, and what do you think that says?
See, to be honest with you, Gordon, I think Andrew played it down a little bit. It was a lot louder than even he said. But what happened was, obviously, the players were coming off the pitch and Russell went to congratulate them for the performance. Fair enough. Players went down the tunnel. They were getting clapped down the tunnel. And Russell then turned to walk down the tunnel himself, and that's when the boos started and the shouts were getting louder from behind. But listen, if you're a Rangers fan, you follow Rangers, you've got to try and take the positive from today. You know, the champions from last season, they've kept a clean sheet, didn't even look like conceding. Listen, I know they didn't create anything at all, really, Rangers, but they've got to see the positive in it, haven't they, from where they were last week to today.
Well, I mean, it's certainly a better league point than the other three have been. Yeah. If that's the way you want to look at it.
But I take the point. Russell Martin's back to square one, though. The 6-point deficit is still there. The fans' unhappiness with him is still there. It's illustrated by the banner. It's underlined by the booing. So he's exactly where he was yesterday.
Let's ask Gary for the Celtic side of things. Billy, well done. Thanks for that. Gary's on the other line, though.
Thanks, guys. Well, it's the worst Rangers-Celtic game I've ever seen. Absolutely abysmal. I actually stopped watching it and listened to the radio walking a dog. That's how bad it was.
And did we Henrik the dog enjoy his walk in the second half today?
Flory.
Flory. Yeah, I mean, I'm always quite unsure because I don't know, they play each other so often. Has anyone got a real accurate list of whether it is the worst or not? But it certainly didn't live long in the
Celtic. Shots and Rangers in four, that is absolutely atrocious.
Took Celtic 70 minutes to get a corner, Gary.
Yeah, I'd rather walk Gary's dog than watch.
So where do you want to see Celtic change then?
Get some strikers.
Yeah.
Get some guys that can score goals and some midfield. We need at least two or three players.
So once again, we're in classic Celtic. They do spend money. It's just when they spend it that's annoying the manager. We're in classic transfer window position now for Celtic. The window closes tomorrow. They need players, and there's the chance that you make mistakes on that final day instead of doing the right thing.
Because the Adam Eder one wouldn't say that like cost Celtic today in any way, Marvin. But so Celtic kind of they get away with it in the sense like they just draw the game, they keep their lead at the top. But Hugh's right; it really is about moving on to tonight and tomorrow. Because what is going on with Adam Eder? He's not even available to play. He's down in Swansea again. Is he going to move there without Celtic bringing someone in? Brendan Rodgers says no, but there's no imminent sign of a replacement.
I don't think there's any chance of Adam Eder leaving the football club without them finding a replacement. And I think that's why they've brought him back up the road. Gordon made a fantastic point earlier. It's not just about today. If that window was to shut, then Adam Eder is going to have to be a Celtic player. You know, I think Brendan probably thought we can get through today's game without him. Where he'd be at mentally in terms of he's done a medical, you know, they're going to receive it's around £7 million as well, so you don't want to put him on risk at risk on the pitch. But yeah, he won't believe him without Celtic signing a replacement, and they can't do it again. You know, they've done it with Kyogo, they've done it with Kuhn. They can't afford for Adam Eder to leave. And I know he's not been great, but, you know, they need bodies in.
Thank you, Gary. Still Dundee nil, Dundee United. One more of your calls when we return.
The fastest goals. The experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Got a bit of developing news from Ibrox, and it's that Russell Martin, speaking after the game, has pretty much confirmed that Cyril Dessers has played his last game for the club. Did you see any of that, Ross? Any big emotional waving or anything?
No, nothing at all, Gordon. That's completely out of the blue to me. Came from nowhere, that one, yeah. But didn't see anything like that at all.
Is that a surprise overall, though? I suppose it was always one they would likely to move on with Miowski coming in, etc.
Well, I think it's probably determined by the fact that they probably couldn't get a fee for Danilo. He would probably be the one to move on if they had the choice, but if you can't sell him and they need one gone, then unfortunately it's Cyril Dessers.
Yeah, because reports of Chirmiti from Everton coming in £8 million yeah, for a kind of young unproven player is quite something. Bigman and Dessers gone, Chirmiti and Miowski in, is that going to be the way it is?
But for me, you're letting your top goal scorer leave the building. I know that some fans get on his back occasionally, but he's scored goals in two seasons. It just depends on the money, Gordon, the ages at as well.
David's on the line. David, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing, Gordon?
Yeah, good, good. What have you got?
I just listened to the news there about Cyril Dessers gone as well. That's a bit of a shock. I'd like to ask the Gordon DL, Cyril Dessers is a great performer for Rangers over the years, and we're going to sign a guy for £10 million, I believe, overall, and plus extensions. He scored 3 goals in his career, I believe. So many games. Is that good enough for Rangers?
Well, we don't know, because
we could sign a defender, what we need. We could sign a midfielder, sign a centre forward for this sort of money we're asking.
Well, we don't.
We flagged Cyril Dessers for the last season.
Yeah.
This season, we want Cyril Dessers in the squad because our centre forward has been Danilo, who's not scored the goals. Our right back is not defended well. Who we wanted rid of last year was Tavernier, who we've got the boy in, who's not been good enough. Tavernier is our best defender, I believe.
What do you think, Gordon, then, of this Dessers one?
Well, me personally, I think I wouldn't have let Dessers go unless it was money. You can't refuse it, especially at his age. Because the one thing about Dessers is he's shown that he can score goals in this league, right? You're bringing other centre forwards in. You're talking about 8, 9, 10 million, right? Look at Celtic, Adam Eder. They're desperate to get him out the door and they paid £9 million for him. So I think selling your top goal scorer, I think, is very risky. Because what's going to get you up there challenging is obviously goals. And Dessers can give you goals. He's 25 a season.
Is Miowski going to play ahead of him, though?
Yeah, well, but we don't know how many goals Majowski's going to chip in with. I liked his attitude today, Majowski. I thought he worked really, really hard for the team. But the proof will be in the pudding how many goals he's going to get this season.
There's also, as the last day approaches, there's also the element of financial sustainability. Andrew Kavanagh was at the game today. When he took over the club, he mentioned financial sustainability. You have a firm offer for Cyril Dessers. Mm-hmm. You don't have any offer for Danilo or perhaps any other player. Raskin, we'll find out in the next 24 hours. But there does come into this an element of balancing the books.
At the same time, the guy, as David says, the replacement's costing...
He'll cost more than what they'll get for Dessers.
8 million.
Is of that age, though, where he doesn't want to sit on the bench, Gordon. You know, make the point there about Miowski coming in. He's now going to be the number one striker at Rangers. So Dessers is probably saying, I want to go and play. So the fee, again, I was the same as you, Gordon. You know, before Miowski came in, I wouldn't let him go out of the building. But ultimately, you're going to have a player that's unhappy sitting on the bench.
Yeah, let's thank David for his input talking about the Rangers side of things. Let's hear from Russell Martin on just the game itself.
I'm really proud of a lot of the stuff I saw with the fight, the togetherness, the spirit in the team, the aggression, the desire, all of that stuff that I think we got questioned on midweek outside and also questioned ourselves on inside the building. So that was a big focus for us to make sure we put in a performance that showed the guys are together. They want to win, they want to run, they want to fight. And they were brilliant in that sense. I'm disappointed not to win the game. I think the players are as well. But I'm really proud of a lot of the aspects of the performance. And then we just we couldn't quite match the level of desire and aggression intensity by then calming down when we had a few moments in possession for sure. Rushed a few things, didn't quite make the most of. We had a lot of territory in the first half and then late on in the game as well, so we didn't make the most of that. But I think the first thing today was about showing how together they are as a group, and we are, and they certainly did that.
I think he overplays his hand at times. I don't think the Rangers fans saw anything to be proud of today, and certainly nothing to describe as brilliant as he's just done. He's decided not to go in for the self-preservation bit that he did in the first draw of the season. But
It was a lot better than that.
Yeah, of course. But the fans are not convinced by this, hence the banners and the booing. So I think he's overplayed his hand slightly with that assessment.
I slightly agree with that, Hugh. And the reason I agree with it is if he was knocking at the door, you know, Schmeichel having save after save, I would take on board we deserve to win the game. Didn't create anything really.
He said off the ball, didn't he? I think he, and I mentioned it, in the games that I've watched Rangers in this season, off the ball, they didn't have that energy and that temper about them. I know we're saying it's easy to, you know, build yourself up when you're playing against Celtic, but the positive from today was Rangers off the ball. I totally agree with you guys. On the ball, didn't do nearly enough, but they have to have that intensity when they do give the ball away to work back and get it back.
Let's bring in James. What's your take on things, James?
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure.
I was at Celtic Park actually watching the beanbag, so good place to watch the game.
Beanbag? I've not heard that phrase in a while. I remember when that started and it was all the rage. Anyway, sorry, James. I was just...
Probably my age.
Maybe.
I'm from Bishopton, member of the Bishopton Emerald, and I think we're missing a point here, and a big point nobody's talking about is Celtic haven't lost a goal all season long, except for the against a Falkirk. But in the league itself, there's no goal. Rangers had to come today and close the gap. We're 6 points clear. We were 6 points clear about 2 hours ago. We're still 6 points clear.
See, in fairness, James, see any Celtic fans or anyone else, though, who puts a more negative spin on it, are they not coming at it from the angle of Celtic not being the best version of themselves? Yes, you still are better than Rangers, but that's the question for some of your fellow Celtic fans. Should that be enough? Do you want to just always stay half step ahead of Rangers, or do you want to be the best version you can? If you take Celtic in isolation, squad's much weaker than last season. Don't even know if Adam Meade's going to stay. Is it not all that stuff rather than, oh, don't worry, folks, because we're better than Rangers?
No, so I agree. I mean, so don't get me wrong. I'm a frustrated Celtic supporter right now. I really am. However, I think your point is valid. But we've only really lost two players. We've lost Kuhn and we've lost Kyogo. Okay, Ida's gone out the door. I don't think Ida was a starter last year. We've brought in two new guys. We've just had them, for a couple of days. We're probably going to sign a centre forward tomorrow. Again, it's a rebuild progress for Celtic right now. And again, I understand why everybody's frustrated. I don't believe, and Hugh said it, I believe, on. I don't know, I haven't listened to all the show, but Hugh believes the 6 points are attainable by Rangers. I don't think so.
No, our caller said they were, and I took from that that the caller thought that in the long run, Rangers could match Celtic and make it a league race, but I made no comment on the 6 point gap other than to say it leaves Russell Martin at square one because it was there at 12 o'clock and it's there at 2 o'clock.
Thank you very much to James. We'll take more of your calls when we return. Keep them coming.
Rangers v Celtic. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL, Marvin Bartley, Hugh Keevan's in the studio, Ross McCormick at Ibrox, and Serge is on the phone lines. Take it away, Serge.
Thanks for having me on, panel. I'm just back from the game there. I was listening to some of Russell Martin's comments about the team being together and wanting to run, wanting to fight and all that. That should be a prerequisite for any guy pulled on a blue jersey. Now, another thing today as well is apparently Dessers has played his last game for Rangers. Yeah. I tell you what, somebody ought to have told the big man, because there's no way he went off that park today knowing that.
Is an interesting point that actually that Serge makes, because Cyril Dessers, we obviously debate the football side of it on here, but I dealt with him. He's a top guy, by the way. Honestly, Dessers, he's such a nice guy, right? See, when you speak to him and deal with him, I think he's very passionate as well. You can see that. He wears his heart on his sleeve. I'd be really surprised that he didn't go and give it the big goodbye if it wasn't his last game. But Russell Martin says it is.
I can't believe that Dessers was on the park unaware of the fact that Rangers had decided to get rid of him.
The window is... No, he'll know. He'll know he's leaving. Marvin, the window shuts before Rangers play again.
And that's the thing, I agree with you. From everything I've heard about Dessers as a person, you know, I'm very, very surprised it didn't go over across to the fans as well, because so many have supported him as well. You know, had a fantastic last season as well. But you know what, Gordon? Stranger things have happened in football, that players potentially maybe thought they were staying, and then all of a sudden the club say you need to go, and he ends up going. So I'm not saying that's the situation here, but it just doesn't really add up to me that he didn't go across and say goodbye.
I agree. I'm amazed that if he doesn't leave now, because you're going into that dressing room, you're thinking, right, okay, I'm a couple of days off in for training, and all of a sudden your manager's out doing a press conference saying it's your last game, you're leaving. I would sort of look at the way you guys are going about this. If it, you know, going on that pitch, you give everything like you usually does, then you would go over and applaud the fans and say thanks very much, I've had a great time.
Anyway, we don't quite know the ins and outs of it, Serge. What about the wider picture about Rangers or the manager, or where are you and all that stuff?
You might look at the bigger picture. We're through four games, we've shipped 8 points. That is a very, very poor Celtic team. These games are usually quite spicy. It lived up to its bill in the battle of the infirm. It's two bad teams. And we're no kidding ourselves. I would be wanting to give Martin a chance, right? But the guy's just, what I hear coming out of the dressing room, whatever, is his ego's too big. He's not a good fit. He wasn't wanted. And at the end of the day, he's only... They're going to need to pull the trigger, because Rangers fans are not after being too loyal for too long. A lot of guys pay good money, and all we ask is they compete. We don't have a divine right to win, but we have a divine right to compete. And Rangers fans are very knowledgeable, and the loyalty again is being tested to the full. They go week in, week out, spend X amount of money when there's a cost of living crisis, right? It's no good enough. Yeah. Right? I don't really blame the board. The board but need to be brave and go, go up, man. It's not going to work.
Well, so you still think so, that point today, you know, not change your mind, you think Russell Martin's done?
No. Maybe the fans going out there going, brilliant, we'll never get beat. You know what I mean? Rangers fans will tell you straight, we done okay. Right? It's a poor selection. We had to win. I mean, it never really looked like it. We need shots on target. Right, with a lot of good play out wide, Rangers put about 20, 30 balls in the box and nobody got on the end out once. Big Suter was offside. That's the only good thing, you know, Rangers fan. Suter is offside, right? If it might have been, my opinion, if it was the end of the city, they'd still be greeting about that. Right, but apart from that, it was pretty boring.
I think Rangers did compete, but they lacked quality. And that's down to Russell Martin's judgment as well, because the players who are there, he's brought in 11 so far, and there are more to come tomorrow, theoretically. So they did compete after a fashion, but the problem is that the players that Rangers have brought in, such as Asgard, are not very good.
Look, you can't keep battering Russell Martin saying he doesn't change, and then when he does change, you're finding fault in it. But at the same time, Gordon, it's a fair point Hugh makes. He looked like he was going to hang his hat on Joe Rothwell to the detriment of Nico Raskin, but actually Conor Barron isn't starting the game. Look, you find your solutions. If Conor Barron goes and stays in the team and Rangers have a successful season, no one will care. But it's just, you wonder how it's all coming together.
I think he's in the situation, he doesn't know his best starting 11. He's looking at players. He was hanging his hat on Aaron's at right back. He wanted Tavernier out the side. all of a sudden Tavernier back in the team today, Rothwell's out, Raskin's out. He's mixing and matching. I think he's got to get, after this international break, I know it's a squad game, but the majority of his players, and get it settled and get a rhythm going if he's going to be successful. But I'm with the rest of the Rangers fans. I think Russell Martin's got to struggle.
Serge is one of a number, I think, Ross, of Rangers fans who are not having the manager still, which is fine. It's because there's all these wider issues he's dealing with. What about the Raskin stuff? What were the chants like, and is that awkward for the manager?
Apart from the atmosphere pre-match, Gordon, that was the loudest chance the full day was a Nico Raskin chance. It's quite clear where their loyalties lie in terms of if it's Nico Raskin or the manager. They want, obviously, Nico Raskin to stay at the club. No one really knows for sure exactly what's went on, so it's hard to comment on it, but speaking to people round about here as well, they can't believe that Nico Raskin wasn't in that team today.
That's where I would have at least be willing to have sympathy, Marvin, because Ross is bang on. We don't know specifically, but should we leave open the possibility that maybe Nico Raskin is difficult, maybe he's not good to have around, maybe he is a bad influence, and if you're Russell Martin, you just have to. The problem is, he's got no goodwill from the Rangers fans. They're even holding the Eggerman thing against him. Eggerman refused to come on. That's like the worst thing a player can do. But the Rangers fans dislike Russell Martin so much, it's his fault. Now the Raskin stuff is his fault. Maybe a shred of sympathy for him in that regard.
Yeah, listen, there's not a lot of balance with some people, because a lot of them didn't want him in there. And we spoke about it when he was first appointed. He has to win these fans over. He hasn't done that. He's got 4 points so far in the league. Now he's got the problem with Raskin, as you said, who was really, really good for Rangers last season. Ultimately, a manager has to make massive, massive calls. And he's done that with Raskin, because he's saying, you know, on a daily basis, as I said, from what I had heard, he's been causing a problem. So that's him not playing for the football club. And some of the players, like you guys are speaking about, that he's hung his hat on, they haven't performed. So again, a manager has to take them out. He can't afford to leave people in like Rodwell, who aren't performing well, and say, do you know what, I'm going to leave you here because you're my signing. Because ultimately that will get you sacked. So Barron goes in today, does extremely well. He says to Rodwell, now you need to up your game. I brought you in here for a reason. You haven't lived up to those heights yet. We've got the international break coming up, and then you have to hit the ground running after. A lot of these Rangers players, I know everyone's looking at the manager, a lot of the new boys who have came in, they need to get the game by the scruff of the neck, because they're not doing enough.
Well, Russell Martin was asked, how could they not be, about the pro-Raskin chants. Here is what he had to say.
I didn't hear that, and honestly, I just want to focus on my energy. If anyone asks about any player individually, like, I'll focus on my energy on the squad today, who I'm really proud of. It's not about me, it's not about Nico, it's not about any individual. So I'm here to talk about the group and the squad we had today, and they were brilliant.
Well, take the manager's word, I guess, but it sounded like everyone else heard it.
It is about you. You're the head coach, and the banners are out, and the booing is going on. It is about you. And you did hear it. I can't believe that you stood there and didn't hear it. Ross McCormack has been telling us that it was very loud. So, you know, he's been disingenuous there. I'll use a fancy word. He's been disingenuous there.
Okay, keep them coming. Plenty more time for calls and both managers to react with us. We'll do that when we return.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Still another hour to go here as we pick over what happened at Ibrox. The second half just about to begin in the Dundee derby as well, where Dundee United lead by a Zach Sapsford, easy for me to say, Zach Sapsford goal to nil. Have they edged it, the visitors?
Yeah, I think they've been the better of the two teams. You know, Dundee United done extremely well in terms of pulling Dundee all around the place. You know, we spoke about the goal. I think the keeper could have potentially done better. But yeah, Dundee United were a good value for their lead at half time.
You know, just looking at the league table, Marvin. Mm-hmm. If Dundee were to come back and win this match, they go above Rangers on the table. And if St Mirren beat Hibs today, they go above Rangers on the table. And that's why Russell Martin is back to square one. It's 4 games, 4 draws, still in the bottom half of the league. And, you know, the fans are as against him as they were yesterday. The draw with Celtic apparently means nothing to them.
I think there was a situation where Rangers could have finished the weekend bottom, wasn't there? If they had lost today and results would have gone against them. I'm pretty sure someone had said that yesterday, that they could have been bottom of the league, but listen, they're not. They got a point, and Dundee are not looking like they're going to win this year.
No. Let's bring in Mark on the line and get his thoughts. Mark?
Hello?
Hi, Mark. Take it away.
How you doing, guys? Well, I was really wanting to talk about Callum McGregor. You know, Callum McGregor is one of my favourite Celtic players pretty much of all time. But I'm starting to think it is time for Callum McGregor to become an impact substitution. Midfield, so slow, backward pass. It doesn't seem to have the adventure that he used to have. And I think it's time maybe we went with, you know, someone else, maybe McCowan, you know, in the midfield. You know, as in years gone by, you know, you had, back in the day, you had McStay, you had Peter Grant. After that, you had, you know, Lambert, Burley, and they were all kind of adventurous players. I think it's came the time now, you know, kind of, Mr. McGregor needs to sit on the bench.
First of all, the commercial, and then the answer. The commercial is, Callum McGregor took over from Scott Brown as Celtic captain and was outstanding, and has been outstanding, and has been the heartbeat of Celtic for a long time. Commercial over. The reality is that Callum McGregor now is toiling, and you know, Celtic would need to go and get themselves one very, very good player to be better than Callum McGregor. With the greatest will in the world, it's not Luke McCowan, but he has been fabulous for Celtic. But the cup final against Aberdeen, where my revision of the side began, Callum had an unfortunate day and missed a penalty, and I don't think this season he has been anything like the Callum McGregor that we know.
I'm going to let you go in a second, Ross McCormick, so you can leave us with that. How was Callum McGregor today? Is it time to spell him out of the Celtic team?
Listen, he wasn't at his sparkling best today, but I wouldn't say that it's time to phase him out of the team just yet. I think the problem Celtic have got is their whole system is designed to get him on the ball to be able to go and dictate play and dictate tempo. The movements in the midfield are not designed in a way where if he's being nullified and someone's sitting on him, he just spins and runs away in an Arnie Ingles or a Hatate or whatever come in and get the ball. So everything is designed specifically to get Callum McGregor on the ball and dictate it. If he can't get on the ball, then it's harder for them midfielders who are playing in number 8s or number 10s and then the wide players to get on the ball. So it's a tough one with Callum, because as Hugh rightly said there, you're going to have to spend even more than the 11 million that they spent on Arnie Ingles to go and even think about trying to replace a Callum McGregor.
Bit early for me, I've got to say. Look, I do agree with the guys that this season he hasn't been dominating games the way he usually does. But I thought last season, I know Hugh's touching on the cup final, but apart from that, he was adding goals to his game. I thought he had a good season.
Point, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, he's not got off to the best start this season, but look, he's still quality. Everything still goes through him. I still think there's plenty of football in Callum McGregor, but right now, I think he's just like every other Celtic player. Because of the transfer window, everything that's going on, I think he's suffering a little bit.
Thank you to Ross. We'll let him go before he gets kicked out of Ibrox. See you later, Ross. You take care.
Take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good man. There we go. Mark, I just wonder about that, you know, that kind of idea that you can just replace Callum McGregor, whether it is with Luke McCowan or someone else. Is the reality not that he's still at a level that Celtic fans might, or fans like yourself, might not know what you've got till it's gone?
A case of we don't appreciate Callum McGregor. I think it's just a case that Callum McGregor's maybe become too comfortable in the midfield, and you've got players like Bernardo, you've got McCowan. You know, men, we've let players like Ben Doak leave, you know, without even giving him a chance to kick a ball. And,
see that,
you know,
Mark, just quickly on that, is that not complete revision? Ben Doak got a Celtic debut at 16 years of age. He got put on at 16. He then came on in an Old Firm game at 16. But what happened is one of the biggest and most successful clubs in the world, in Liverpool, came along and took him. Sometimes Celtic, Rangers, other Scottish clubs don't help themselves. But how could Celtic keep Ben Doak?
With Scotland, you know, I mean, we don't seem to give youth a chance.
I just said he played at 16.
In Glasgow, you know, second.
Mark, he played at 16 though. How is that not giving him a chance?
Well, 16, he's not really developed as, you know, what you would call a kind of full-fledged player.
Well, Celtic are damned if they do and damned if they don't then in your eyes. I mean, they had Daniel Kelly, wanted out of the club. He was in the first team. You had Rocco Vatta.
I think that, by the way, the wider point's bang on. We need to get far more Scottish players playing, no doubt about it. But I think Bendock went to Liverpool. How are you going to stop him going to Liverpool?
Kids today don't look upon Celtic and Rangers as the be all and end all, the meaning of life, their main ambition. They just don't. They get out of there as quickly as they can if they get the chance to move to England. Just a fact of life.
Here's what Brendan Rodgers made of the game itself. Let's hear from him.
I thought it was a poor game, if I'm brutally honest. Positive for us being, we haven't given away much over the course of pre-season, and today I don't think we had a shot against us on target. So defensively we've been good and solid and lots of endeavour, which is great. But the actual, in terms of our quality in the game, and was... it's not at the level I'd expect a Celtic team to be. So that was a disappointment. But I felt overall the quality of the game wasn't a high enough level.
That fair? I think anyone would disagree. Yeah,
Brendan sounds completely underwhelmed by everything. He's entitled to make the point that Celtic didn't give away much in defensive sense. But he knows that his side is lacking in quality. He's just said so. And that's why he is so unhappy with the board. I genuinely believe that Brendan is a supreme politician and the answers that he gives are politically correct. But I genuinely believe that Brendan Rodgers is taken aback by the lack of transfer activity, by the timing of the transfer activity that does take place. And there will be no Brendan Rodgers at Celtic Park next season.
I actually think he sounded bored after that game, like everybody else there. He summed it up perfectly. Listen, he can take a few positives away. They didn't create a lot. Yes, he says there that Rangers didn't have really a shot on target. Clean sheet, that 6-point gap. So there's a couple of positives, but there's a lot of work to be done at Celtic, and I think Celtic fans realise that as well. And it'll be interesting to see before the window shuts who comes in, who leaves.
One man's opinion. This old guy's opinion. He's there as Celtic manager out of moral obligation because he won't quit that contract until it is at its expiry date. But I don't think that Brendan Rodgers is fully committed to Celtic anymore. I think he looks at a future elsewhere at the end of this season.
Yeah, listen, I think you might be right in terms of that happening. He did sound like a frustrated man today, but I don't think that's anything to do with the board, which we keep going referring to. I think that's with the quality of his players. Like he said there, they could have been better. They should have been better. We're used to Celtic playing in a much different way than they did today. And it's always frantic in these games between Celtic and Rangers, but they just didn't take the game by the scruff of the neck. I think Callum McGregor was nullified. I disagree with the caller who's saying it was, you know, he needs to be phased out of the team. I think there's still a lot to come from Callum, and I think he's still a massive, massive player for Celtic. But I just think today he had an off day. I just think like his team has had an off day. But ultimately, they go into the first international break. They're unbeaten. They haven't conceded a goal. And they've got, you know, 3 wins and a draw, I think it is.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Let's go to Colin and Neilston. Hi, Colin.
How are you doing, Farrell?
Good. What you got for us?
I thought we were absolutely robbed today, mate, honestly. I'm on my way home for the game now. I want to see the penalty decisions. I think the goal should have stood.
Why?
Well, from my angle, it's not offside.
He's behind the far goal.
I mean this in the politest way possible, Colin. You must be at it here. You must know your angle is not entirely relevant here.
I thought the referee had an absolute howler. The referee was a shocker.
I'm skeptical.
I think it's time Russell Martin. It's time for him to leave.
Well, I don't think Colin's alone in that. But we'll take on the question there about the penalty kick. For me, I think the referee got that spot on. There was a couple of tackles in the middle of the part. I think Don Robertson should have let go. I think he was too quick on the whistle a couple of times. He got one or two decisions wrong. But this isn't a game that we're going to be sitting here talking for the next 45 minutes about the referee's performance, because the game was so poor. Everything that was involved round about it was poor as well. But the big penalty case, It was certainly, in my eyes, 100% correct decision. It was never a penalty.
Colin, specifically, why do you want Russell Martin to go?
Well, four games, come on. Four games, four draws.
Well, you know,
you asked right, the man.
Yeah, and that's, I said to you an hour ago that that is the crux of the matter. He's no better off than he was yesterday. And it is four games, four draws. What happened against Club Bruges, 9-1 on aggregate, is absolutely humiliating for Rangers. And Russell Martin is living game by game. I'll be very interested to see if 49ers Enterprises have anything to say before Andrew Kavanagh returns to the United States. But he, Russell Martin, is still not wanted by 99% of the Rangers support.
Do you really think they'll sack him here? After four domestic games, spending money again, it seems like.
But living game by game, the next one, Hearts, is a real test of him and his Rangers team. Hibs, if they were to knock Rangers out of the cup, the drama increases, the pressure increases, and there does come a point where, you know, the 49ers have to do something about it.
Let's hear from Russell Martin on the owners who were there today, of course.
I've not felt one change in their attitude towards me. If anything, I felt the more support than ever in this last week from Kevin, Patrick, the owners, Andrew being here. Andrew spoke amazingly well to the players and staff yesterday about the plan that we've embarked on just 90 days ago, that they felt it was the right plan then, and they still do. So he doesn't want to get caught up in the I don't know what to call it. You'll criticise me for whatever, the hysteria of you guys and what goes out and everything else that comes with being at this football club. Because like the guy early before the game, that'd be asking me about the pain threshold, has been reached already. The pain threshold has been reached time and time again at the football club by the supporters, by everyone else. Then the pain threshold gets reached, there's a change, and actually nothing's really, really changed. So I feel really supported by the owners. I feel the players and the staff needed to hear that yesterday, because it definitely there was a lightness in the players after that. And then today they went and showed how hard they want to run for us, the coach and staff, run together for a team, run for the supporters, run for the owners, because they feel supported and they feel there's a plan in place. They understand it. We're disappointed with we haven't got more points, but we're 6 points off the top of the league, and now we have to hunt and we have to be hungry and desperate like we were today to win and get better.
We're 6 points off the top of the league. I mean, what Rangers fan wants to hear that line?
You feel like that was presented there as if it was some sort of positive?
Yeah, and it simply is not. And I go back to Wednesday night. Wednesday night was a low point for Rangers as a club. But for Jack Butland, it might have been 10-0. And the fact that Club Bruges relaxed in the final half hour of the game, it was embarrassing, humiliating, delete, whichever it is, inapplicable.
Where I can't understand this, he seems to highlight this today about the work ethic, the run for each other, and they never created anything at home against Celtic. And I think even Celtic fans who come on this programme saying, oh, it's a real poor Celtic team, we would turn up at Ibrox. Rangers never created anything. Listen, if you're a Rangers supporter and you go along, you sit, take your seat in that stadium, and Rangers players come out, the first thing you're looking at is saying, well, they're going to do a shift, they're going to work hard for the jersey, we're here to support them. That's the first thing they demand.
Haven't been doing it, though, have they?
No, they haven't. That's part and parcel of the game. But you can't come out. I've heard them using the word today, oh, the players were brilliant. You've not created a chance. You know what I mean? There's an opportunity there. I think if you look at that Celtic team compared to what they were in the days gone by with the Kyogos, Jotas, O'Kunes, all these, right? You look at them, they were weaker today. If you're Rangers and you're at home today, you're thinking, this could be a great chance to get some. But if you come off the park and all your manager can turn around and says they showed they're together and they were working hard.
And to be just to try and offer a shred of fairness, the things have been on the floor, haven't they? So you got to try and take any small victories you can at this point.
I grasp that, Gordon.
You're not judging Rangers by normal standards.
Listen,
just
if
now.
You're going to go forward and you're going to be better, and he's talking about we're 6 points off the top of the league, I'm sorry, you've got to see something that you walk away from that game and you say today, do you know what? That was a sort of a makeshift Celtic team and they look quite poor today. Schmeichel had a great game. We created chances. Our play was good. We get in behind them. We were, you know, all the sort of excitement stuff. All he's talking about is a basic hard work.
Brian's on the line. Brian, hearing from the manager now, how do you feel about him these days?
Yeah, thank God you brought me in there. Gordon, on and on and on and on there.
Sorry, Brian. Right.
sounds like a Rangers fan.
All right, Brian, come down.
Before I say my point, I'm not happy with the 6 points behind drawing the first four games. I'm certainly not happy about the performances against Bruges, right? But what I'm on to do is... We have to trust the process. If this had been the same board and this had been happening, I'd have been exactly the same. I'd have probably wanted the manager out, right? But when the 49ers came in and took over the club in the summer, everybody was so positive, so looking forward, you know, to what's going to happen. And then as soon as they made the decision, the manager, the negativity started right away. A lot of them didn't want Russell Martin in, even though they were happy. But the 49ers take over, they make the first decision, and they're not happy about it. Right? Now, I don't go to Ibrox. Right? I used to. I supported Rangers from the early 70s to the early 90s. I went regular. Right? And I'm not saying I didn't see stadiums that were toxic and very difficult for players to play. Especially players that are still starting out in the club, who need help, right? What I would say to Rangers fans, please, please, start supporting the team, right? See where this process goes. And if 6 months down the line, I mean, people say we've lost the league already. I don't believe we have, right, not after four games. I also believe that vitriol and hatred, yes, hatred towards the Rangers manager is, I don't recognise a Rangers support at the moment. I don't recognise them at all. I've seen Rangers when they hadn't won the league for 9 years, early to mid 80s, and I've never seen anything like that that I'm witnessing just now. And I'll tell you something else. They have come down and backed Nico Raskin, who was undermining the manager behind the scenes. I heard Neil McCann saying he's a difficult player, right? Now, I've liked Raskin as a player, but he hasn't really proved himself. He's not dominated games that he should have, right? But he's undermined the manager. Senior players and senior staff are Russell Martin in this. And to back Eggerman, who blatantly decided he wasn't going to play with the club, I do not recognise a Rangers support at the moment. See, after I make you talk about this point, can I come in about financial sustainability?
Just go and make it quickly if you can, Brian. There's a break fast approaching. The producer's going to get twitchy, so just crack on.
Yeah, the financial sustainability, which Stu has talked about often. We've got a new board with a £20 million investment. Now, along with that investment, Rangers would have had a transfer budget this season. Now, so far, you can correct me if I'm wrong, we have spent just over 20 million players, but we've taken in 18 million in players. Now, I know we're taking the risk on the young Everton player, Nemeche, but I'm judging the process. 8 million is a lot of money, but you never know where this is going to go. Maybe this is what this boy needs. But as I said again, please, please back the team.
What do you do though, Hugh? Because this is where I always think it's difficult. I think, see, if you were just to be a stranger to these parts, you tuned in, you heard Brian, you would think, well, I mean, that's all fair enough. Surely it is much easier when everyone's pulling in the one direction.
Yeah.
I think we spoke about this yesterday. Brian, that was a nice, passionate appeal. Good on him. Yeah. Russell Martin can do it. You can't change the minds of 50,000 people inside a stadium,
no,
and social media, radio phone-ins, whatever. you just can't tell people how to feel. You just can't. It's just, it isn't right. It's just the reality, though.
I have this mental image now of Rangers losing 3-1 to Aberdeen at Ibrox, and the players going to applaud the fans. And I remember the reaction they got, and Michael Beale, that did for him that day. I remember the crowds gathering to verbally abuse Philippe Clement after a Celtic defeat. You cannot tell people that they must back the team, because what you mean is, regardless of results, regardless of performance levels, and that's just the way it is, that trust in the process is a bit of a cliche for me. What process? So far, the manager's brought in lots of players. Some now don't get a game. Some who were touted as being the next big thing have turned out not to be so far. So it's about the transfer dealings, some of which have been okay, others are not so fine. It's about the four draws. It's about the humiliation of losing 9-1 on aggregate. The manager's under pressure because of football, and only football can save the manager. Going forward, he has to take care of Hearts and Hibs, and that the Europa League cannot contain any more 9-1 aggregate losses. So football got him into trouble. He'll need football to get him out of trouble.
I do think, in an ideal world, what Brian says makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. It's just, we don't live in an ideal world. So what do you do then? Can you keep going round on it? Or do you need to dig in the way Brian wants?
Yeah, I love Brian's passion for the club. The only thing is, trust the process. You would need to see some evidence just now to say, right, we're going in the right direction. Would that evidence be today because they worked harder as a team? You would need to ask the Rangers fans that.
Plenty of time for you to get your thoughts over. We'll do it next.
Taking your calls on the Old Firm open line, 0141 951 1025. Rangers v Celtic. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Still Dundee 0, Dundee United 1. Anything jumping off the screen for you from that one?
No, it's lacking a bit of quality now. Dundee United would be quite happy just to take the one goal lead, take the 3 points and walk back down the road. But as it still stands, 0-1, Dundee are always in my shout, and I think they would take a point at this moment in time.
Dundee United losing a few players to injuries, it looked like. I think this might be the second one.
Lucas Stevenson, that would be a blow, because they brought him back up with high hopes, I think.
Yeah. He's done really well for Liverpool in pre-season, played a lot of first-team games, and then managed to get him back up the road. But just getting his ankle checked there, I think. But yeah, listen, Dundee United are still good value for their lead, and Dundee haven't really troubled the Dundee United goal yet.
Two other games, Hugh. Aberdeen 0, Falkirk 0, Hibs 0, St Mirren 0 after half an hour.
Well, Aberdeen, interesting. You know, Jimmy Tilleen, the season has not started well. They're bottom, pointless. I think a home defeat to Falkirk today would cause the fans to start to grumble. I thought the crowd were amazing when they played in Europe, the size of the crowd and the raucous nature of the crowd. But Jimmy Tilleen, for me, tends to get away with a wee bit, and he needs to start picking up.
Yeah, crucial period for him. I'd agree with that. Let's bring in Daniel, who's been hanging on the longest. Daniel, take it away.
How you doing? I think Celtic missed the opportunity of a lifetime today. Rangers are a wounded animal, and Brendan Rodgers' tactics have seriously got to have a look at. We never had a shot till the 60th minute. Never got a corner until the 70th, and that's two Champions League games in an Old Firm. No shots. You can't tell me that's the striker. We're not putting the ball into the box until it's the last 15 minutes, until it's plan B. Plan B is have a shot. How can plan B be have a shot?
It's always an interesting one, that, Gordon, because the manager has to take the fall for pretty much everything, so that's fine. I wouldn't dream of trying to let Brendan Rodgers off with it, but a lack of I highly doubt he's not wanting shots on goal. Yeah. Right, I'd imagine he wants quite a lot of them. So where is the balance between manager's tactics and player's execution? Because if Balakwisha had been more positive and secure in the first half, then they probably would have had shots at goal. Is that a tactical thing or?
No, I just think it's a confidence thing just now. I thought the European game, the two legs, I thought they were very poor in the forward areas. I think they've missed so much quality there. You know, you talk about Kuhn, you talk about going back to Kyogo, you talk about Jota missing. That is a lot of quality to take out your side. I didn't think they looked a threat at all today, Celtic. You look at Brendan Rodgers comes in for a bit of criticism. If you look at his record and with the so-called big games lately, it's not that very good, is it? You know, he's been, I think it was two losses, two draws to Rangers, lost against Aberdeen, the cup final, the European one, Almaty, he didn't score a goal in 200 odd minutes. He goes to Ibrox a day, hardly a shot, corner kick, his first corner kick in the seventh day of minute. So I know that you can hark back to Bayern Munich, he had a great result against them, but I think Brendan Rodgers has got to take a little bit of criticism here. He can't just point it all at the board, because if you look at the team, and especially in Midley Park today, he's still got real quality in there, but they did not create anything.
It just feels like, Hugh, though, the one, what changed for Celtic, right? So from this stage last season, when they were very good domestically, there's no point pretending otherwise. No. Look at the amount of goals Celtic scored last season. What's changed? Has Brendan Rodgers stopped trying to get his team to play the way they did last season? Or do they not have the same players with the X factor at the top end of the pitch? It must be the latter. Yeah. Again, that's not to let Brendan Rodgers off with it, but I doubt he's changed. I doubt he's asked them to play differently. But there is such a drop off in quality.
Kuhn, Kyogo, Jota, not replaced properly. And that's why tomorrow is vital. You know, Daniel's complaining about not having a shot. Shin Yamada came on today and did tolerably well, holding the ball up and doing his bit to help get the draw. But he's not top drawer quality. Celtic need to go spend money, get quality in it. That is the outstanding area of the park where the decline has taken place. It used to be Kuhn, Kyogo, Jota, and now it's way beneath that. And with the greatest respect to the most decorated Celtic player of them all, James Forrest should be coming on as an impact sub, but he has to start too many games. Maeda, last season's player of the year, he looks a shadow of himself. I don't know what the reason is for that. But yeah, of course the manager has to take responsibility for the two Karate Almat results and for today's performance, but he is having a hand tied behind his back because the quality is not there and has not been brought in.
Dundee 0, Dundee United 2. Ivan Dolcek, top scorer now in the Scottish Premiership, has scored again. I think that's him up to 4 perhaps. Good finish, game over.
Yeah, game over for Dundee. As I said, they look toothless at the top end. I know Simon Murray, their captain's back now, but you know, he's lacking game time really. It's like he's, you know, out there, he's probably ran his race and just at the other end, going, they can't keep the ball at the back of the net either. So, yes, it's going to be a long 12 minutes or so for Dundee. Their fans don't seem very happy at all, as you can imagine.
What would you like to see Brendan Rodgers have tweaked today, Daniel, or done differently? If you think this is on him, what changes should have been made?
I think any of that front three that played against Almaty would have walked into their team. So, talking about quality doesn't really wash. Anybody, we didn't have a shot against him. So you can't win a game of football if you're not shooting.
Again, though, and by the way, how are we going to strike this balance in? Because I don't think Daniel's wrong. Managers need to take the flak for everything. There's no way they're not having shots by design, though. Oh. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. I just think that both teams were so poor, Gordon. The quality was poor. I know what he's saying there about. I don't agree with him that any of the front three. You look at Yang started in the European game. Yang's been very, very poor for Celtic. Mm-hmm. He's more of a come on and when the game's gone for, you know, and the game's won for Celtic, and they'll create one or two things. But he's not a starter. James Forrest had a brilliant career, but he's not a starter week in, week out. They do lack the quality in the front.
Yeah, so right now, as in the way they performed over the last week, would they walk into the Kairat team? I don't know. Do you know what I mean? That level of performance, we're judging these guys on paper.
Yeah, I think it's a team thing though, Gordon. I think even watching today's game, the way that Celtic were working the ball into the final third, how many times are you talking about Maeda getting the ball with his back to goal and a defender right up, you know, behind him? And it seems that there's no real support when the ball was going into him. There was no real quality of the balls being slid down the side, rather. And, you know, until he went onto the left-hand side, there was no real penetrative runs from Celtic front line either. So, yeah, I think the manager can take some blame, but ultimately it looks like the players have gone away from what was working for them so well last season. It looks totally different when they're able to get into the final third.
Because again, Gordon, those ones where the couple occasions Celtic did manage it, they have possession, they look up, they switch it. That stuff's not accidental, that's what you work on.
Yeah.
You know Rangers are going to come and press over, so you switch play. And it gets to Balakwisha, and then he did absolutely nothing with it, and he turns back.
I think he
won't be getting told to turn back there, I don't think.
No, and we were saying in the studio, Gordon, we'd like to see him just go and be positive and try and take Tavernier on. He's in a great position. But I thought the Nigerian and the other side was the exact same every time he got the ball in the first half.
At least he's not a winger.
No, I know that, but he's out there and he played against Livingston there and scored two goals. But every single time he got the ball, he come back the way. I thought Celtic were very negative. I thought they were quite happy to say, do you know what? It's a dour game, 0-0. We'll take it, international break. We'll see what the window brings. We're 6 points ahead. Rangers have caused us no problems.
They've had one win in the last six games against Rangers, and that was on penalties.
Yeah. Let's thank Daniel and bring in Craig. Can you go, Craig?
Good afternoon, panel. How are you?
Yeah, good. You?
Yeah, fine, thanks. I just wanted to make a couple of quick points on the Rangers manager and his comments after the game today, if that's okay.
Go for it.
First of all, I think everyone on your panel today can admit that it was a terrible game of football. One of the poorest Old Firm games I think I've ever seen. And then I'm listening to Russell Martin in his press conference after, telling us that Rangers were brilliant, everybody's running for the team. I think if you hadn't seen that game today and you had listened to the radio and listened to Russell Martin after it, you would have thought Rangers had won that game. And I don't know how long this guy can go on trying to pull the wool over the Rangers supporters' eyes with his...
Craig, I think he meant off the ball, though. I think he meant in terms of Rangers, their work rate off the ball. There's no way that, you know, a manager or anybody who watched that game could try and kid you on that Rangers on the ball, because they didn't really create anything at all. I think when he's talking about running and players working for each other, it's when Celtic had the ball was turned over or Celtic were looking to counter-attack. And I don't think you can really argue with that. If you look back at the other games for Rangers, I think off the ball they've been poor. I think against Motherwell especially, they were giving the ball away and nobody's really reacting. Dundee, the same. So it's something that's been missing. I know one of the callers said earlier on that that's the basics when you play for Rangers Football Club, but they weren't getting that basic right. So yeah, I agree with you in terms of on the ball, I thought Rangers weren't at it at all, but off the ball I think they worked hard.
Craig, how far back has this manager got to go in your mind then? Because to be fair, he's can't just keep coming out and battering everyone and slaughtering everyone. He got a point against, you know, the big rivals today, and it would have been so much worse if they'd lost. So is it not getting quite difficult for him to say the right thing?
Yeah, I think as a Rangers manager, I think he's got to be honest with the supporters and the media. I think we've heard Tom English the other day ask him for the first time a really difficult question, and he couldn't give a definitive answer. I think when he comes out with comments like that after a game, it's okay if you've actually won the game, but this was a really poor Celtic team there today.
Okay, thank you very much.
This has been a really poor Celtic team all season, if we're being honest, and we're still 6 points behind. The fans don't want to hear about, oh, we were brilliant running off the ball. What are you going to do to start getting the team winning matches?
Okay, thank you, Craig. Some good points, well made. Still 2-0 Dundee United, about 6 or 7 minutes left in that one. We'll take more calls when we return.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley, Gordon Dalziel, Hugh Keevans, all still here. We're nearly finished in the Dundee Derby. Dundee 0, Dundee United 2. So barring some sort of late drama, that will certainly end with the Dundee United victory. Elsewhere in the Premiership, still no goals. Aberdeen 0, Falkirk 0. However, Aberdeen are down to 10 men. Nicky Devlin, your old pal Marvin Bartley, sent off just before
the break. I think a straight red card as well. So we'll take a look at that one. And Hibs nil, St Mirren nil. Hibs doing so well up to a point the other night, still losing in Europe overall. How will they bounce back? We'll keep an eye on those. Andy is on as a Celtic fan. Andy, how do you reflect on today?
Really disappointing and kind of flat. I mean, I apologise, I've not listened to much today, but it's just so dull, and I think I feel that way for both sides. Like, there was barely anything. It was like one side didn't want to lose and the other side kind of wanted to play in a horseshoe. It was, God, it was so bad.
Well, I think Brendan Rodgers backed up your point, Andy, because he sounded thoroughly depressed by it all. And he, above all others, knows that he really needs to get some movement in the transfer window tomorrow. Balakwisha came in and had a very quiet, subdued debut. Benji Nygren on the other side of the park, admittedly out of position, but offered very little. And it is flat. And it is stale. And it needs an injection of quality. And I go back to the cup final in May. That was the red flag, and I don't mean anything to do with Aberdeen. There was no quality that day. Even Celtic's goal was an own goal in the cup final. So they've got 24 hours to see what they can bring in. But Brendan Rodgers is looking seriously underwhelmed by everything around about him at Celtic.
Is this a bad combination, Andy, of you needing more attacking players, better attacking players, but also the ones that are there and the ones that you thought you were hanging your hat on are underperforming as well?
Potentially, but it's the same old with Celtic. You know, we've seen this. We saw it in January when we needed to replace Kyogo and we didn't do it. We've not paid money for a first-team player in 42 days now, I think it is, in terms of first-team players. Like, if I said what I wanted to say, I wouldn't be allowed back on Super Scoreboard. So,
probably a good time to stop.
It's so infuriating the way that we are run just now. It is ran, I mean, it's been spoken about so many times, it ran like a bowling club. It has to get passed through a certain director. And, well, I mean, the Dahlberg thing, like, whether or not he is the be-all and end-all, I don't know. But if he's what you need to get Ida to go to Swansea, then you pay the money and you get it done. Like, I think we're about £20 million in the red after signing Balakwisha.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be in this state of play. Like, it's just embarrassing, to be honest, as a Celtic fan.
Well, still no update, by the way, on Adam Ida. He was asked about that today. Still no update there. It's certainly going to be a fascinating night tomorrow as well. We'll be on Clyde One Super Scoreboard whilst the window's starting to move to a close, so who knows what it will have in store. But I think Celtic fans certainly hoping for business. Thank you to Andy. Let's squeeze in Stephen before we finish. Stephen's a Rangers fan. How do you feel?
Completely dejected. That was probably the worst Celtic team that has come to Ibrox in the best part of 30 years. You know, you look at Martin O'Neill's teams, you look at Strachan's teams, previous Brendan Rodgers teams, and they were utter garbage. Utter garbage. We get four shots in goal, and we're taking it as a win. Well, Russell Martin is, because, to be fair, we probably, for large parts, looked like the better team. We got in the final third, but we did nothing. Four shots in goal. Are you kidding me? This guy is an absolute disaster. That's his 11th game in charge of our club, right? Pre-season friendlies and closed-door games included. You know, he talks about us 8 weeks, 9 weeks. No, this guy's managed us for 16, 17 games, all in. And it's an absolute disaster. We're getting worse. We've played okay against a terrible Celtic team. And this guy, the fans need to take action now. There's Europa League ticket sales coming up. We need to boycott the stadium. We need to do everything in our power fans shouldn't run the club like this, but we have to. See if the board aren't going to do it. This manager is a disaster. He will never, never succeed as manager of Rangers Football Club. When he came in, I thought, you know what, this guy, by all intents and purposes, he sounds like he's going to have this dynamic playing style. It sounds like we're going to play with pace, press high, blah, 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 create loads of chances. And it's been a disaster. And it sounded like it would work in this league, but it's not, and it's never going to. We need to get rid of this guy right now, and the fans need to act. I lost my season ticket back in the day when Dave King, etc., were getting Charles Green's mob out because we had to boycott season ticket sales at the time to basically force that action through. This needs to happen now because that guy is the worst manager. He's worse than Kashinya. He's worse than Beale. He's worse than... I don't know. I'd rather have Neil Lennon in than that manager.
Oh my goodness.
Well, first of all, first of all, no self-respecting journalist could advocate boycotts. That's not what we are here for. With regard to Russell Martin, the most damning stat is 11 competitive games, European and domestic, and 3 wins. So that's why he's in trouble. And the international break will only give fans time to feel even worse about it. And I keep coming back to it. The 2 games, both at Ibrox, against Hearts and Hibs, might have Russell Martin's future in their hands.
Here's a damning stat to finish with when Stephen's talking about the lack of attempts on goal and so on. I think regular listeners will know we don't really talk XG very often. We don't really bring it up. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but to be fair, if we're going to bang on about shots on goal, shots on target, you're probably better looking at XG, which rates the quality of your chance rather than, you know, a 40-yarder that dribbles into the keeper's hands. Anyway, with that in mind, there's a Twitter account called the XG Philosophy, right? And it's got 500,000 followers. It just basically posts all the stuff about all these games. And the Rangers Celtic game, they've tweeted to say, is the lowest XG game they've ever posted.
Is that right? It sums our afternoon up.
So the numbers might not mean much to you, but Rangers with 0.16 and Celtic 0.17. Again, look, I know people don't necessarily buy that, but take it in the context of what it is. For these people who do care about that stuff, it's the lowest ever they've ever had. So the least chance of scoring a goal basically in a match.
And after witnessing 90 plus minutes,
you can believe it.
I totally believe
that. Excites me because my brother came up for his first derby between those two today. His work came up. Yeah, they flew him up. So I'm absolutely delighted. <this one.
laughs> Hello to Marvin's brother. Anyway, thank you very much. I think that'll pretty much round us off. Hugo, you can give the address of the nation to finish us off.
Russell Martin is still in desperate bother with the Rangers fans. Banners today booing the manager at the end of the match, and 3 wins out of 11 is a horrific start for him. Brendan Rodgers, Celtic need an injection of quality, and the last 24 hours of the transfer window are going to be crucial because the fans are watching and they're not impressed.
Thank you, Hugh, to Marvin and Gordon, to Ross and Andrew at Ibrox, to all of you for listening and keeping us company. It wasn't the best, I think we can all agree on that, but we'll pick over it again tomorrow. Dundee United have won the Dundee derby. We'll get 2 other games ongoing. The transfer window closes tomorrow. It's going to be unmissable, if I do say so myself. So 6 o'clock tomorrow, get it in the diary. We'll speak to you then and enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening.